want to preach today, Lord be my helper. I want you to keep your Bibles open. I want to preach on this thought. Can I get a witness? I say, can I get a witness? Have you ever been saved? Have you ever been born from above? Have you ever felt God's touch in your life? Woo! Are you glad you're going to heaven? I say, can I get a witness? How God's still doing things. He's still saving sinners. He's still changing lives. He's still making a difference. And he's going to come back one blessed day and get us. Can I get a witness? Amen. Hallelujah. All Christ's ministry, he's about giving a witness. Do you know that the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 17, and in verse number 6, that at the mouth of two witnesses or three shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. Did y'all see that? No. You see, amen, a witness is not supposed to speak about what he's just heard. He's not supposed to spread a rumor. But a witness can only testify of what he himself has experienced. That's why Paul said, I thank God delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. That Christ did die, that he was buried, that he did rise from the grave. According to the scripture, I'm an eyewitness. I've experienced it. I know what I'm talking about. I just didn't hear a rumor. I've got a relationship. It's real to me. I've experienced it. I can testify. I'm a witness. Woo! All through the Bible. He says just one witness will have the accusation dismissed. But if you got two, or if you got three, it's a done deal. Woo! Hey, hallelujah. I'm glad God can get a witness. Look what the Bible says in Matthew, chapter number 18. Bible says in Matthew, hope you got your Bible open, Matthew chapter 18, I'm verse number 16. Even when dealing with issues in a church. But if he will not hear thee, take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Did y'all see that? I'm not just talking about an Old Testament principle. I'm talking about a New Testament truth. The Bible says that thank God at the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall or may be established. Hallelujah. If you look in that text and verse number 20, I like this right here. You know why God's showing up? Verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. What's that, preacher? Woo! That's two witnesses of his revealed presence. Every time we come together in the name of the Lord, thank God when two or three come. Hallelujah. I know he's in us. I know he'll never leave us, nor he'll never forsake us, but he'll reveal his presence. When two or three get together, it will snore the broad, because there's more than just one witness. See, with one witness, there may be doubt, but with two witnesses, there's determination. I'm determined today to be a witness, and I need a second one. So can I get a witness? Amen. That's the Bible. Look over at 2 Corinthians. And so you know, this is Paul writing to a bunch of old Gentiles. Woo! Look what he said. He believed it. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. He said, this is the third time. It's third verse. At least I've read to you. Read four. This third at least. I am coming to you. What did it say, Jeremy? In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word. Matthew said maybe. Paul said shall be. Can I say on the authority of the Bible, it is a principle that God has set forth and imposed upon himself that two or three witnesses is what it'll take before every word of those witnesses shall be established. Are y'all with me today? Now turn to Matthew chapter number 3. One witness may leave a little doubt, may cause the dismissal of the word. But two witnesses, y'all listen real close right here, also demands a decision. I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm asking you to make a decision based upon what I show you today. Two witnesses demands a decision. It demands it. Woo! I again thank God. I'm going to repeat this several times, but can I just say one more time? A witness is only to speak of. Thank God, bless the Lord my soul, what they have themselves experienced. I'm glad I experienced it. Glad I've been born again. How you found your place, brother? Amen. Here we are. Bible said in Matthew chapter number 3. Y'all can find out we fixed that baptism service. Oh, I'm going to get to baptize a man that lives in the bar that God shut down. Woo! I'm glad I shut the devil down. Hallelujah! Look what it says in Matthew 3. It said Jesus went down to John in the last few verses, and the Bible said he cometh to Jordan unto John to be baptized. And John said, I ain't worthy. I can't do it. And Jesus said, oh, you better do it. It's to fulfill all right. I've got to show everybody else. I've told them to follow my steps. I'm setting an example. I've got to show them what they're to do. And as Seth said, baptism is a believer's first opportunity to mind God. And we're going to have it. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, but look what the Bible said. When he went down in the water and came up out of the water, they were two witnesses of Christ's royalty. He's not just any man. He's a royal man. He's God incarnated in flesh. What did the Father say? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Woo! Who else? What else happened? Here's the other person of the divine family that spoke up, and they just fluttered down on his shoulder, and the Holy Ghost witness and the Father witness. That's two witnesses that testify this morning of the royalty, the divinity of Christ. Can I say amen? It demands a decision and it creates a determination. Would y'all agree with me? Hallelujah. Amen. Look what the Bible says in Luke chapter number 9. It said, preacher, what does he teach us in Matthew 3? He teaches us that the power of God, the presence of God, and the peace that he bestows is evident when you believe the witnesses. Hallelujah. Look what Luke chapter number 9. Hallelujah. I love this. Luke chapter number 9. Y'all found your place? Luke 9, down in verse 28. The Bible said in verse 28, and it came to pass about 8 days after these things, they took Peter and John and James. Boy, I want to go back and re-preach Wednesday. And went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, Jesus is transfigured before their eyes. I mean, what was on the inside broke out on the outside. The Bible said that his glory broke out. Oh, yes. And what happened, he is pulled up into the atmosphere. And who was talking with him? The Bible said in verse 30, and behold, they're taught with him two. Not just one witness, but two witnesses. Two men, which were Moses and Elias. What they talk about? Who appeared in glory. There they are up there hovering in glory. And the glorified Christ. The glory breaking out. brighter than the noonday sun, glistering white. And it's blinded Peter, James, and John. They don't know what to do. They seek God's face and go to praying, but they hear some preaching. What are they preaching about? Who appeared in glory and spake of Christ, of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Thank God. Thanks two witnesses that have joined together. Hallelujah. On top of Mount Carmel. And there they are. Peter, James, and John. There's your three earthly witnesses. But thank God in heaven, there's Moses. There's Elijah. Hallelujah. And they are witnesses of his redeeming work. They're talking about Calvary. They're talking about he did die, church. Don't believe the lies. Don't believe the liberals. He died for your sins and my sins. And we got two witnesses that are preaching. Wouldn't you like to hear that? Great God. Here Elijah, he's preaching like a fireball. Here Moses is. He's wanting to part something. I mean, they having a time. You know what Elijah represents? Prophets. You know what Moses represents? Law. There's two more witnesses. Well, the law and the prophets agree. He is very Christ. We have two witnesses. It is a principle from Deuteronomy. God imposed it on himself. I'm not asking you to believe something that we don't have evidence to prove. I'm talking about two witnesses that said he's royal. He's divine. He's God in the flesh. Oh, but there's two witnesses that said he did die. He would die. He has died. He died for your sin and mine. The redeeming work. You see, two witnesses we learn, if we'll listen to him, we can hear his praying. We can hear his purpose. The reason he came into the world was not to live, but to die. He came in this world to die. And the death that was set before him was the death of the cross. But here's the pardon. If we'll listen, we can hear Elijah say, oh yeah, this is right here. Reminds me while me and Elisha went on the other side of Jordan, over at that place where the foreskin was cut away. That place that reminds us that old sinful lifestyle has been rolled away. And you can now live in victorious Canaan land life. Oh, Moses said, whoa! Here is the prophet that's going to bring deliverance, not just out of Egypt, but out of sin. Hey, here is that prophet. I got to see God set a table in the wilderness and give manna to sustain life for 40 years. But here is the bread of life. He's going to give not 40 years life. He's going to give eternal life. Oh, that bread's going to be broke. And Elijah said, amen. I thank God. And Moses said, he's water. He's the rock. He's going to quench your thirst. And Elijah said, amen. And thank God. Elijah said, hold up. He said, thank God. They're going to have fire on them. And Moses said, amen. And Elijah says, one day, God's going to come back and call them up. And Moses said, amen. Can I say today, hallelujah, he did go to Calvary. Got two witnesses of it. Are y'all with me today? Turn over here with me. John 20. Two witnesses. Thank God removes doubt and demands a decision. It ought to create in every believer a stern Holy Ghost determination. Hallelujah. Two witnesses of his royalty. Two witnesses of his revealed presence. Two witnesses of Christ's redeeming work. But in John chapter 20, amen. And verse number 11, amen. You got your place, Brother Jeremy. Hallelujah. I'm lucky I even know where my Bible is. I'm so caught up in the, whoosh, hey, hey, woo! And Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And she, as she wept, verse 11, she stooped down and looked in the sepulcher and seeth two angels. Whoa! There's two witnesses to his resurrection. The angel said, he's not here. He's risen, as he said. Hallelujah. We've got two witnesses to his revealed presence. Two witnesses to his divinity and his royalty. Two witnesses that he died for you at Calvary. But now we've got two witnesses that he got up the third day. He's alive, church. Are y'all with me today? He said, preacher, what does that tell us? Well, it tells us this. His passion was not just to die for you, not just to be buried for you, but to be raised for you. See, Brother Jeremy, he was delivered for our offenses. Somebody had to die, for the wages of sin is death. But his passion is that you don't have to.
That's right.
That I've done it for you.
Amen. Right.
Oh. Achan had to pay for his own atonement. But thank God Jesus paid for the atonement of all believers. He was delivered for our offenses. But I like this part. Romans 4:25. He was raised for our justification. Now it's hard to get people to listen to me right here, but it's the truth. He died for the sins of the world. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
But he raised for them that would believe. For everybody that believes, justified.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
Amen. That's snorkeling gear right there, buddy. Woo! Y'all sit there. I got to get some of this out of me. It's about to kill me. I said, thank God. Hallelujah. I say, bless the Lord. I say, hallelujah. I say, bless his holy name. He not only died for me. He was not only buried. He rose for me. It shows me his passion was that he could pay for my sin, die in my place, raise for me, and justify me, which simply means make it as though I never sinned at all. You know how you go to heaven? Being justified. Them he foreknow, he called. Them he foreknow, he predestinated. Them he foreknow, he justified. Them he foreknow, he one day will glorify. He died for sins of the world. Tasted death for every man. But he rose, knowing everything. Past is as much present as the future. He's not constrained by time. He is right now in my future, and right now in my past, and right now before the foundation of the world was, all at the same time. Crosses all dimensions, all time frames. He's Almighty God. You can't limit him. You can't control him. You can't figure it out. Quit trying to figure it out with your logical brain, because you'll never get saved like that. But I tell you what you can do. Realize he is virgin born, placed in a virgin tomb. Thank God you was birthed through a virgin womb yourself. And God saved you and washed you in his own blood. Hey, oh, bless the Lord, my soul. I can't help but thank him for justifying me, making it as though I'd never sinned. I'm going to tell you, that don't make you shout. It's because you ain't done much. You ever been guilty as much as I have? You'll be thankful that your slate's clean. Not just do we see his passion and the peace of knowing that he justified us, but we got to see his person. I said, preacher, what are you talking about? In our text, Mary gets to weeping. She's tore up. She's hanging at the garden where the tomb is. She says, are you the gardener? Brother Tony. Brother Tony. She's already had two witnesses. Them angels. But she's wanting to push that Deuteronomy principle. She said that third one. That third one. She said, I got to nail this thing down. That third one. Are you the gardener? Oh, yes. I've come to fix what the first gardener tore up. I've come to restore what the first gardener lost. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, but I'm more than a gardener. Let me Mary. Woo! Rabboni! Master, Lord, nobody has spoke my name like you spoke it. I know who you are. Oh, Lord. And she went after him. He said, don't touch me, Mary. I had to stop taking the blood to bring redemption for everybody just because I saw you weeping. Amen. And she saw him. She had to have that third witness. And when you see his person, it will change you forever. Hallelujah! Bless his name. We have two or three witnesses. Amen. But notice this in Acts 1, our text. There's two witnesses. In Acts chapter number 1, you remember where we read verse number 10. They've been told that they're going to have power. And they're going to be endued with it. That simply means you can't pay for it. You can't muster it up. But a sure sign that I've got back and sit down at the right hand of the Father is that there's going to be a comforter come. And when he's come, I'm going to show the world in the tabernacle. Fire over the tabernacle meant God was with them. And the temple, fire over the mercy seat in the temple meant God was with them. But he don't work like that now. He's broke it down individually. And that fire dancing on him, his testimony that God's working through the individual. Hey, he said when that power comes, it's going to be dispensed to you. It's going to come from somewhere outside of yourself. I'm so glad I didn't have power to get saved. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, he told them that. He said, that happens. I need some witnesses. Is. Not a witness. I need two or three. I need three or four. I need five or six. Some of you are probably thinking, preacher, can there be more than two or three? Oh, yes. Whosoever will, let him come. Take of the water of life freely. Matter of fact, God sends us out two by two. Are y'all with me? Look what the Bible said in verse number 10. And while they looked up steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, did y'all see that? At every point of Christ's work and ministry on this earth, God has had at least two witnesses. Amen. Every time his revealed presence shows up, two or three are gathered in his name. Hallelujah. You can bank on it. It's a done deal. Don't wonder if God's going to show up. Shout about it. We're going to have at least two or three in every service. Somebody say amen. And we're going to have two or three coming in his name. Thank God we've seen two witnesses testify of his royalty, his divinity, the divine family, the Father and the Spirit. Then we had two. Hallelujah, of his redeeming work. Moses and Elijah. But hold on. There's three more on earth. And they want to talk about it so bad they can't stand it. Amen. Two in heaven in glory and three on earth. Peter, James, and John. But even more than that, here's the law and the prophets. Woo! Don't miss Calvary. It'll change your life. I give you double dose. Six, eight witnesses. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Then there's two witnesses of his resurrection, them angels. But then, just to make sure, Mary pushing that book, I need to know she's there first and she's staying late. And gets God's attention is the tears of his children. You ever want God to show up and you get to longing for him and wondering where he's at and you feel like your prayers is dry as last year's bird nest and you feel like the service is dry to you, everybody else is getting in on it? I tell you what you might want to do, check your water fountain. Check your eyes. Make sure you're still weeping. Because if you'll go to weeping, he'll go to showing. Woo! He'll reveal himself. You'll see his very person. And it'll change you from then on out. Guess what she did? Y'all do know what she did, don't you? She went back to that same crowd and said, glory to God. I've seen him. I've seen him. I've seen him. I've seen him. Lift up your doubts. Thank God. Get some determination. Thank God. Make a decision. Follow God. One of them rides, Bethany. After Wednesday night, she made me a little card. It was a preaching chicken. And it says, keep on accruing. Thank God. We need to keep sounding the message for saints that are backslidden to get their eyes back on Jesus. For us to remember what God promised us and remember what we've promised God. Hallelujah. Don't back up. Don't slow down, church. Press on. Press forward. Lean into it. There's two witnesses. Not just of his resurrection, but there's two witnesses of his return. Where it's also said, verse 11, Acts, our text, why stand ye gazing up in heaven? Who is that preacher? Verse 10 says two men in white apparel, angelic beings. Also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up in heaven? Why are you looking up? Why are you just standing around doing nothing? There's a lot of folks, no doubt saved, love the Lord, and all they're doing is looking up. You ought to look up. You ought to have an excitement, but you ought to do something else. He's done told them to go tarry, get to praying, and when you get to power, be witnesses. He's sending back two men, giving them two more witnesses. Go down there and tell them. Why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus. Look what the text says, verse 11. I like these specific words. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come. Part right there and run. Need traffic control. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. That's all right. In the spirit, I seen y'all running. Y'all still running. Y'all taking about 10 more left. Help yourself, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You say, preacher, why? Ladies, you ought to stand up and shout. It's like I said Wednesday night. I know. They tell me some hens do some crowing. I've never had any that does, but it is a possibility. And you know why I say that is? It's thank God, because they some mamas that ought to have the same message as the man of God every Sunday, every day of the week. Somebody say amen. That's right. One rooster crows, all of them go to crowing. They some daddies ought to have the same message. Shall so come in like manner as you see him go. Oh, he's coming back. He said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm playing. There's a blessed hope, church. He's a coming back. See, he's reminding them of the promises he gave them. Over there in the upper room, y'all remember what he told them? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I got to go. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will doubtless come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thomas, thank God, he's like us, had a little bit of doubt, need another witness, just didn't need one, a few verses. He wanted three. And so the Lord said, okay, Thomas, here you go. You might not know the way. You don't know where I go. But he said, I'm the way. I'm the truth and I'm the life. I'm the way so you don't get detoured. I'm the truth so you don't get deceived. And I'm the life to get you out of your deadness. Hey, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Woo! Way, truth, life. Three witnesses. Two witnesses sent back. Thank God. Two witnesses. One witnesses can create doubt. Accusation, dismiss. word not established. Two witnesses or three, that every word shall be established. Every step of Christ's ministry, every step that Jesus lived on this earth, he showed us he was the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Savior. He's the one come to die. He's one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. He's your hope. He's your only hope. He's the only way, the truth, and the life. I'm asking you, with two witnesses or three, and we'd have multiple at every state of his ministry, they all testify to us that you have to make a decision. And saints, believers, get a determination. Keep growing. Keep going. Don't tarry. Don't stand around here gazing. Get busy. What'd he tell them? It's all through the text. Look in Isaiah 6. Three words sum up the chapter. Woe. Recognize how me. Lo. Here's that bloodstained coal that cleanses you. And go. Great Commission. Go. All of them. Even Acts tells us. The Great Commission. Don't just stop next door. But one thing, for God's sake, don't stand around doing nothing. Why gaze when you can go? Woo! I'm going to give you power to go. And when you get the power, get out and go. Are y'all with me? Now, two witnesses. You say, preacher, but you don't understand. I'm really discouraged. I'm really disappointed. Understand that. You can't go by just what you heard. You can't go by just what others have told you. You need to experience yourself. I understand. Turn over with me, if you will, Luke 24. Turn over with me, Luke 24. Hey, man. Look what the book says in verse number 12. Peter rose and ran on the sepulchre, stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, departed, wondering in himself. He's had a witness, but he's still wondering. Here's what you need to experience, church members. Look at me. Look with me in verse 13. And behold, two of somebody hold my mute. Amen. Amen. When you witness him, you will be different. Let me just go ahead and say that. Amen. Behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near. Here they are, discouraged. They're quitting. I don't care what nobody says. These folks is packing up. They're going to the house. They are discouraged. They're defeated. They've heard it, but they need to experience something themselves. And so now they're walking down through there, and you thank God to just say, well, let them go on them. Oh, no. That ain't what Jesus does. He sees to his youngest, Cleophas, and his wife discouraged. You know what he's going to do? He's going to scooch up alongside of them. The Bible said in verse number 15, Jesus himself, not an angel, not Moses, not an errand boy. Woo! But Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Hallelujah. And they said unto him, what manner of communication are these that ye have one another? You said you walk and are sad. One of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things and heard the things which have come to pass? And he goes on to tell him that Jesus of Nazareth, he lived for us. We thought him to be the Christ and the Messiah. Yet he was cut off. He's dead. He's been buried. And they, some said he's got up. But we, and Jesus said, oh, he said this. He began to question them.
And he said this in verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And by verse 27, Jesus himself, the preacher of all preachers, the only preacher there really is, we're just vessels. And the Bible said at the beginning of Moses and the prophets, look at there, Brother Tony, that's the same ones that testified of the Mount of Transfiguration. That's exactly the same word that you need when you're discouraged and when you're defeated and you think you're going to quit. You need to hear the same message and the same preaching. Amen! The Bible said he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And look what the Bible says. They drew nigh and they constrained him. And it came to pass, verse 31, hallelujah, he took bread and braced it and break it. And then he gave it to them. That's when they saw, I believe, the wounds in his hands. That's when they saw the wounds in his hands. When they broke that bread, ain't nobody prayed like him. Nobody breaks bread like him. Hallelujah. Then they seen, and they just didn't see a hole there. I believe they might have saw their name there. Hallelujah. Hey, Cleophas, and your wife. Woo! And the Bible says their eyes were open, and they knew it was him. And they said, didn't we burn up? Hey, didn't our heart burn when he preached to us? And guess what they did, Brother Jeremy? They ran back. They ran back. Hallelujah. They ran back and became witnesses at Jerusalem. I say amen. Are y'all with me today? They went back to be witnesses. Woo! I'm determined. I'm determined with the help of God, y'all. Hallelujah. When Jesus shows up at your house, things is going to pick up. I can promise you that. And your depression will become determination. Your discouragement will become determination. After they came into the house, they went back to the house where that crowd was, and they became a witness. So I want to ask you a question. If you're sitting here today lost, do you realize he died for your sin? And he's hung in between two witnesses. Boy, I can't hardly handle myself. It's Old Testament, y'all. Y'all remember Joshua and Caleb? Those two of them witnessed that the lamb was good. Hey! And that the Lord was big enough. Hey, man, that's exactly right. Guess how many witnesses are going to come back before the Lord comes back? Two witnesses. Hey, guess how many witnesses went in there to share the good news to Rahab and her whole family got saved? Joshua even calls them in one place. Two witnesses. I'm so glad, thank God, God has solidified. He has proof. He has took away all doubt. He has showed you he is your Messiah, your Savior, your uplifter. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Two witnesses. I said, well, preacher, I know. One received the truth. The second witness of the death of Christ rejected a treasure. But there's one that received the truth. You know what, Brother Whittemore? You know how that man on the right got in? Grace. You know how you got in? Grace. I heard Brother Whittemore preaching the other day. You know what he said? You know what he said, Brother Jeremy? Say it. You remember this? Brother Whittemore crying, weeping, squalling. This is what he said. He said, when I die and my wife's got enough money to buy a tombstone, he said, I want her not to, to forget about my name. Put my initials. But I want her to put in boxcar letters, Grace. And on the back, goodness and mercy. Hallelujah. I say amen. Woo! I'm simply saying, church, great God, you got in by grace. And there's two witnesses following you called goodness and mercy. I'm glad he made me a worshiper. I'm glad he made me a winner. But I'm glad, thank God, he made me a witness, because a witness has to experience stuff. Y'all with me today? He died for you. I'm asking you, you willing to live for him? I said, preacher, what did he give you when he saved you? He gave me a story to tell. It's too much to tell. It's too much for a whale, according to Jonah. It's too much for jail. Ask that crowd that tried to keep Paul and Silas. It's too much for hell. They couldn't hold that crowd. It's too much to tell. It's so much I'm starting to swell. It'll cause you to smell. I'm telling you, what did he give you? He gave me a story to tell. How the God of all glory laid down his life for me. What else he give you, preacher? He gave me a sufficiency to trust. What he did at Calvary, it is finished. That's it. He gave me a sufficiency to trust. He gave me a Savior to try. He said, what do you mean by try? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Thank you, Lord. Taste. Amen. And see that the Lord is good. Woo! Gave me a Savior to try. Gave me the privilege to try. Here he is, Brother Jeremy. He gave me a shout that thrills my soul. Somebody help me. It's past appreciation. And I'm just having a time thinking about it. Whew. I'm appreciating him for letting me pastor. I'm experienced this because the witnesses have to experience. They are not listened to when all they have is hearsay. They have to have experienced it themselves for their witness to stand up. A witness, thank God, does not share a rumor, but a relationship, a revelation, something they experienced. So, preacher, what have you experienced? I've experienced him in all of his glory. I've experienced him. That's what they did on Mount Transfiguration. I experienced him in all of his grace. I experienced him in all of his godliness. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. I've experienced him in all of his granting. He granted every promise. Somebody said there's 365 promises in the Bible, and that's one for every day. And then that man recounted. He said, I was wrong. There's 366. That must be for leap year, or on one day it's really bad. You need two of them. Amen. I don't know. But I guarantee you this. He's granted every promise. Are yea and yea unto him. I'm glad he has done some granting. I've experienced his goodness. Ain't he been good to you, church? I said, ain't he been? Can I get a witness? He's been good. Have you experienced grace? Can I get a witness? Have you experienced his conquering godliness? Can I get a witness? Amen. All the times we've seen two all along this road. One witness, thank God, leads doubt. But two witnesses demands a determination. So I want to ask you one more time. You may say, preacher, can I be? I'm asking you. I'm determined to be a witness. Can I get another one? Can I get an amen? I say, can I get a witness? I want to ask you something. I'm drawing a line in the sand. It's a determination for every saint. Keep on saying. Keep on saying. He's coming back. As sure as he's royalty, divinity, God, as sure as he died for you at Calvary and did all that the redemptive work required, without shedding of blood is no remission of sin. I'd love to park here a while. His hands are spears because your hands is filthy. His feet were spears because your feet is filthy. Take you to filthy places. His whole brow was because your head and your mind's filthy and thinks filthy things. Every bone was out of joint because ain't a bone in your body any count at all. Everything, his tongue cleaved to the roof of his mouth. Them bulls of Bashan grabbed around him like a bunch of old fighting bulls. And they went unleashed their smites, unleashed they being hit in the head, beat him with scourge, him, his back's laying open. He's unrecognizable on the cross. It is undeniable that he did that because he loves me and you. No other reason. He did it because he loves me and you. Oh, I know the law demanded it. Hey, man, to fulfill all righteousness concerning the law. But what kept him there, amen, was the love he had. Come down if you be the Christ. I'm glad he didn't come down. Two witnesses that he did get up. Multitude, three, four, six. Two witnesses of his return. Two witnesses of his revealed presence. Two witnesses, thank God, that he'll show up and give you a reassurance when you're defeated, wanting to quit, in doubt and discouragement. God said, I just want to let you know when you're defeated and discouraged and want to quit, have your head hanging down, I just want to let you know I'm going to preach the same message to you. You keep going to church. I tell you what, if you don't go, I'm going to come alongside of you. And I'm going to remind you every message you ever heard from the law and the prophets. And I'm going to stir your heart. And then I'm going to let the bread be broke to you, even though you don't deserve it. Hey, man, I'm going to let you see your name. I'm going to let you know that I did it for you, that I love you, that I care enough for you. I mean, God walked, resurrected. Lord, walk beside a bunch of, are y'all with me today? My God, have mercy. But God said he did it because he loved them. And what they do, went back and told everybody, he is risen. He's alive. We seen him. He paid a house visit. Well, bless the Lord. Well, it's all I can do. Just keep blah. Thank God baptizing everybody today. Amen. Two witnesses. Demands. Decision. I want to ask you this, church. No matter what comes your way, if you're saved, will you cross over this line and determine you're going to faithfully serve God? No matter who does or who don't, who quits or who don't, you've got more witnesses than what the law requires. He is alive. He loves you. Why linger any longer? Why halt between two opinions? If anybody in here is standing at the crossroads, fixing to make a wrong decision in your life, or maybe you've made every right decision by the grace of God since you got saved, you still ought to pray that God gives you the fortitude to press toward the mark. That means lean against the traitors. That means fight, lean toward the enemy. Not run from it, not cower down, but press toward the mark. Press in, press on, press up. Amen. And if you're sitting here day lost, Jacob, come on.